right, we're still on the Passover. And we, yesterday we talked about a lot of stuff. But let's go back to Exodus 6. Verse 6, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched hand, arm and with great judgment. And I will take you to me for a people, and I'll be unto you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord, your God, who bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians out of the world. Now, if that's a history lesson of something that happened back then, that might be interesting, but it's not, you know, what does it mean to me? But this is a not only a history, it is a parable, or a, what's the word? I don't, it's not parable, but it's, anyway, it's a picture of what, a form, a pattern of what happens in us and to us. And so we talked a long time yesterday about burden. Burden has to do with toil. And he'll take us from that burden, from that, we go from the days of the week to the Sabbath. And the Sabbath no longer is a day of the week. It's the Sabbath is Jesus Christ himself. And so it's Christ in you that he is redeeming from the bondage of the world and from the bondage of you as Pharaoh, as the Antichrist, as the instead of Christ. And so nothing about the human can be, it has nothing to do with you as a human being. Because this presupposes your death, and it's a picture of your death. Even the putting the blood on the doorposts of the house is a picture of the death of everyone inside, spiritually. And so we hear about redemption, meaning, oh, I'm taken from the slave market and I'm doing this. No. Redemption is freeing and a prison, meaning, oh, we're going to... The prisoner is Jesus Christ in you, and that's who's redeemed, and he is who is released. But as long as you make redemption something about you, then you'll never understand. And if you make burden something about what you're doing, you won't understand either. You've got to understand that you're dead. You're death when you entered that house with the blood on the doorposts. That's why the angel of death had no effect, because spiritually they were already, that by entering in, they were dead. Everybody understand that a little bit? That's what redeem means. If Christ isn't in you, then redemption means nothing. And if you continue to try to understand the mystery of God with the mind, you'll never see anything. All right, well, let's look at some redemption stuff. We're going to look first in a bunch of Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 69. What you doing, Gary?
Well, I'm thinking about the mystery and how it's so finely crafted, you might say. If you hear something and you go, wow, I like that, but then you can't understand with your mind and you have to just abandon what you like, which is fine, but it just always right on that active edge of the volcano or something.
Well, remember that I don't want to go there. again, it's always walking, as a believer, it's always walking on that knife edge.
And if you're trusting God, you're not trusting yourself to be able to get you out of the jams you get into. And it gets a little hairy sometimes. But that's what it's supposed to be.
All right, Psalm 69. You can't be redeemed if you have nothing to be redeemed from. If you're, you would never enter the door with the blood on the doorposts if you had some option. As long as you have options, and your mind will never understand. You'll never see the mystery of death, and you never see the mystery of repentance. Because you'll always have an ace in a hole or an option or a thing to do. And if you have any options, redemption is impossible because you won't take it. What you'll do is you'll just put Christ on the name of becoming his. He'll just be another idol. He'll be the chief of idols, maybe.
Yeah, the Antichrist will be your Christ, and you'll worship him because...
Well, every man worships the Antichrist because they worship himself. They give breath to themselves, which means worship. And so, you're right in that sense, but it's yeah, you recognize you've been dead. You were born dead. I mean, it's hard for us to believe this. But Jesus Christ said to the Jews that believed on him, they made a decision for Christ. they accepted him as their personal savior. He said, no, because you are of your father, the devil. That's pretty heavy. Yeah. And all that you are capable of doing is his lusts, his will. What?
666.
Yeah, 666.
666.
It's written on your forehead, and it's written on your right hand, and it's evident. You are your father, the devil. So how can you possibly, knowing that, how can you possibly have an opinion in time and space? How can you rank something in time and space? Again, right after Passover, the first thing, starting with his day of his resurrection, the morrow after the Sabbath, you start the counting of the Omer. And it doesn't mean just to count it. It means to see it and repent of it. You come out of the 49 gates of impurity. And every one of those gates is something that you admire and something that you want. Something that you esteem. Whether you've done it or not, or do material. If you esteem it, then that's one of the, and remember, this is so wild. If you missed a count on that day, if you missed the counting of the Omer, you couldn't just start over again. You couldn't continue. You had to go wait until next year. Now, what's the only reason for missing the count? There's only one. Because you're still esteeming that thing good. Now, the reason we haven't ever gone into naming the gates of impurity, I mean, you could have some general thing, but even the most obscure writings in the Talmud or the Zohar, when they talk about counting the Omer, they never name the things what it means, because your mind would never understand it. Even your idea of God more than likely has to be left in one of those gates. Now we're beginning to understand the meaning of Passover. Passover, in truth, Passover and Pentecost are related. They're connected directly by the counting of the Omer. So they really are one feast that lasts 51 days. But its sole purpose is the manifestation of the certainty of that you are dead, and that all of your opinions and things that you think are good are gone with the dead man. Now, it's only faith. No situational ethics, no intercourse with cause and effect, no returning to leaning on your own arm of understanding for anything. Positive or negative.
It's like light and dark are the same.
Right. Again, we've said many times, if everything isn't spiritual, nothing is. Especially opinions about God. Where did we stop? What verse am I on? Huh?
Psalm 69. We were going to read Psalm 60.
We haven't even started on it yet. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we have not started.
Just heard a ranting.
We're ready, though.
Verse 16. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, for I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst gave me vinegar to drink. Now, can you see that that psalm doesn't have anything to do with you? It's talking about Jesus Christ being redeemed from the prison that you have kept him in. Can you begin to understand that you've been perfected by one offering because you're dead and only he lives? All right, let's go to Psalm 72. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and the poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring down peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and then break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure, throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The king of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and the needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. And he shall redeem their soul from the deceit and violence. And precious shall be their blood. And precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live. And to him shall be given the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually. And daily shall he be healed. Pray, excuse me. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the mountains, top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and all men shall be blessed in him, and all nations shall call him blessed. Because blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Prayer of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Now, I've seen people, evangelists, take selected verses out of that psalm and justify their greed with it. That psalm is a praise to the Father by the Son. But it's only to the poor and needy that hear it. Because only the poor and needy, again, the paktos, can hear the mystery of God. All right. 103. Psalm 103.
There's really nothing else to do.
trust the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth thine iniquities, and healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like an eagle's, like the eagle's. Now, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now, who's being redeemed? As long as you put you in the picture, you'll never understand the mystery of God. All right, let's go to Psalm 107. Every psalm, there's supposedly 10 different men that wrote the psalms. David wrote the most all of them, but a few of them are written by others. But in each case, they are written by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ in them, for Christ as he walked the earth, and now for Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Psalms, that's why the Psalms are so awesome. But as long as you put you in the picture, you will always be disappointed. Because this is what I want, but give it to me, God. No. Won't happen. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, when he hath redeemed, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, again, let's go back. Let's go back to Genesis. When we read Genesis, you are Cain who slew Abel. You are the one that ate the apple. You are the brothers who sold Joseph. You are Herod. Crucified Christ. You are also Herod, who slew the children. Are you beginning to see why the only way you can be a believer in God's eyes is that Christ believeth and you die, he lives in you. All you've been is a vessel. You've always been a vessel for deity, but the wrong one. Now celebrate his redemption in you, which requires your death. What?
These are conundrums. That's who you're talking to.
All right, let's go to... Oh, we got time for one more. No more songs, but let's go to 1 Corinthians.
chapter blah 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 blah, chapter 6.
First Corinthians.
Verse 14. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will raise up us by his own power. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For the two, he saith, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication, and every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are bought with a price. That's what redemption is. You are not your own. You are gone. The most difficult thing in the universe, for me anyway, was to understand that free will was an illusion. What?
There's no such thing as free will.
Amen. It's either the will of God or the will of Satan. But the will of Satan is even the will of God, because that's supposed the opposer. He opposes because he wants holiness, not innocence. He wants not people running around with labels on their, a bunch of pecan shells running around saying, I'm a pecan. That has to fall into the ground and die. It never looks like what it comes from. All right, that's enough for today. We'll have some a little bit more on redemption, because that's really the meaning of Passover. All right? What?
Redemption.
Yeah. But who is redeemed? That's the eternal question.
Can you answer it?
Yeah, of course I can. You know the answer. All right, take it, big guy.